Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents by parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. And after that bubbly program from Chindi Chitrana, we are going to actually talk about something that's a little bit serious. But I picked this topic because it was suggested by many members of the Desi community. We're going to be talking about the effect of divorce on kids and how we as parents can behave in the most responsible manner to minimize the impact of divorce on our kids. As always, this is a live show and our call-in number is 510-770-1550. With me in the studio are two experts. Madan Ahluwalia is a California attorney. He manages Ahluwalia Law Professional Corporation, a boutique law firm. Welcome, Madan.
Thank you, Vidya.
He has seen many cases of divorce through his practice. In fact, he was so concerned about the impact that divorce has on kids that he reached out to Parent Talk to suggest the topic. My second guest is Lina Khanzore. She's a child and adult psychiatrist. She also works part-time for a non-profit called Bay Area Children's Association in Cupertino, and she has helped many kids and parents in divorced families. Welcome, Lina.
Thank you.
Madan, Lina, I'm very glad to have you in the studio with me today. Most of us can sense that divorce is something that is going to be very painful for the children, but apart from the emotional issues, there are also physical and financial issues. Of course, the emotional impact is tremendous, so we'll begin by talking about it first. But what I want to know is divorce common in the Indian community? I mean, when I was growing up, and I guess I'm betraying my age when I say this, at least in India, in my neighborhood, in my circle of friends and family, it wasn't very common. So what statistics are there here in the U.S.?
That's a very good question, Vidya. I have to say there's about half of American children will witness breakup of parents' marriage is kind of the statistics that we have come across. And as far as Indian community goes, it's probably not all the way up to half of the children, but it's getting there. It's really rising, and we are seeing a lot of families come up with this issue. I've seen a few families in the last couple years in my practice who have these problems because of the kids, you know, having difficulty with parents' divorce.
And I guess because it is not, at least it wasn't very common in the Indian community, but now we're seeing a rise in it, it's probably topical to address what are the impacts it can have, something this traumatic and it can have on children. Now, I know that you mentioned that one of the effects that divorce has on kids is that they feel responsible for the parents' divorce and they blame themselves. I can totally see that. I think even when my husband and I are fighting, I think we have to be careful not to do it in front of the children, because automatically kids think that they are the cause of it. And sometimes in a weird way, it's the caretaking or the caregiving that leads to the conflict.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, you are right. So often the conflict between the parents starts because of their indifferences of whatever, their personalities and stuff. But then very soon it trickles down to, okay, so how is this going to impact our parenting, and how does that, you know, affect the child's upbringing? And okay, if we do separate, what's going to happen to the child, you know, their education and their extracurricular activities, everything. And so the kid actually, particularly younger kids, because that's how their psyche works, that's how they interpret this, is that, okay, now mom and dad are fighting more because of me, mm-hmm. because of, you know, who's going to drop me to school, who's going to pick me up from this particular activity, and there's so much conflict about that.
Can parenting itself be one of the, different styles, in differing styles in parenting itself be a cause for marital conflict? I mean, it certainly is a very common one and a cause for the divorce.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is definitely true. It's like, okay, one parent thinks, okay, the child can watch TV for 5 hours, and the other person is like, no, 30 minutes or an hour is enough. And, you know, so usually things like that, or, you know, it comes to extracurricular activities or the choice of extracurricular activities they come up with. And particularly, I think what I have come across is, okay, it does affect in a normal household itself, but once the parents separate, it's particularly a bigger conflict. It's actually where the kids really find it hard to find that balance. Okay, you know, like I had this family where there was this 5-year-old child. She wants to sleep with her mom, and her mom allows her to sleep in her bed. And then when she goes to dad's house for his share of custody, he is like, no, you know, no way you're going to sleep in my room. So I want you to sleep in the other room. And, you know, she would have restless sleep at dad's house. And when she comes home to mom's house the next morning, mom would be like, oh, you are so tired. What happened? And she's like, I was scared all night. I had some bad dreams and monsters and whatever. I mean, at that age, it's probably appropriate for her to have those things. But then mom would bring this up as a big case towards dad. Oh, you know, you're not taking good care of my child. She's, you know, always anxious and restless, and she can't focus the next day at school, and boom, there's another big conflict.
We'll certainly come to what happens after the divorce in terms of two households, and that's something I want to talk about later in the show. But let's talk about this, the first thing that we had brought up, which is that the kids feel an inordinate amount of blame fact that the parents are separating.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we mitigate that? How do we minimize that? How do we communicate to the children that it is the parents' difference that is causing this and not really anything the child had to bring about?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the main work, you know, we have to do in counseling with the children. And, you know, with younger children, we use toys and dolls and things like that, and we talk about, you know, at their level. And so certainly that's a very important thing we do through counseling, clearly helping them understand that parents, you know, it's like how two friends can sometimes get along well or not, and, you know, how they have differences in what they like and what they don't like. And so similarly, it's that's the real reason, and you're not the reason for their conflict.
Is this something that even parents can communicate in a certain way? Is there a way to do it? How do you talk to your kids?
Yeah, so I think, you know, parents have to also make an effort to help them understand that, you know, kind of maybe coming to that level of friendship. You know, mom and I are friends, and we have these particular likings and this not, and, you know, somehow, you know, it was not intentional, but now we have more and more differences that have come about, but it's nothing about you. We still love you, we care about you, and we want to do the best to raise you.
Madan, when by the time a couple has come to you in the situation where they are contemplating divorce, it's obviously they are going through some really painful issues themselves, right? And in this situation, I mean, I just want your input on what Lena has been talking about. Can they make that decision in that moment of anger, you know, when their feelings towards the partner are very negative? Are they capable of making that decision? What has been your experience as a family lawyer?
First of all, absolutely. People do make those decisions, and people do make rash decisions. And human beings, you know, being human beings, and, you know, people, they get affected by little things. You know, something that gets said about, you know, his mom or her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, you know, they can definitely push people to make decisions. So people do come in.
Mm-hmm.
However, the good news is that there's still room to go back and fix the problem. What I see happening is that people make those decisions in a heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point onwards,
mm-hmm.
the counseling they get, and by counseling, I don't mean going to a psychologist. What I mean by is the counseling they get from friends, family,
uh-huh.
relatives,
mm-hmm.
and even attorneys,
mm-hmm.
that could change their lives.
So that's a very optimistic and positive note that that I really like to hear, that even though you may have started off completely on the wrong foot, you definitely, it's never too late.
Absolutely. You know how people think that there's no going back,
mm-hmm.
right? In my opinion, there's always going back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's always a first time for everything, and anybody.
Did you make your New Year's?
And anybody can make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what is more important to you?
Right.
And I have seen people mm-hmm. file for divorce
mm-hmm.
and then go back and try to reconcile,
mm-hmm.
and in certain situations, they have reconciled.
Yeah.
I guess it's really important to have that support system that gives you honest, unvarnished advice and helps you look at it from an outside perspective. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Lena. I want to add to what Madan was saying. I think I have had a few cases where, you know, people have made decisions of separating and then they went back to reconcile, and you know, they realized when they came to see me or another counselor that, you know, ultimately, you know, how is this going to affect our child, their well-being? And, you know, the priorities change, and they're like, okay, you know, we can work this out. Maybe there are some tiny differences that can be mitigated by couples counseling, and we can, you know, have a good future for our child. And so, yeah, I would say it happens quite a bit.
How do you take it back, though? I mean, you have, in the heat of the moment, possibly in front of your kids, you have said a lot of hurtful, hateful things. So are children forgiving? Do they forgive? Do they forget?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially the younger the kids, the better it is. They have very short-term memory and they forget. And I think whatever, you know, most of the times the kid feels that the parents should be together. I mean, I have kids who would say, you know, I'm happy in both households, but I really want mom and dad together.
To be together, yes.
And so that wish is always there. And any possible effort the parents make, they actually are always, you know, forgiving and forgetting. And they are like, sure, we want to be together.
So Madan, what do you think?
You know, what I think, and I have seen it happen in certain situations, and I'll give you an example. I had a client. And the wife was a Hindu, mm-hmm. and the husband was a Muslim.
Okay.
And the husband, you know, he got involved in his religion more and more. So I believe that created a bit of a
rift.
A rift. It created a gap mm-hmm. in their relationship, and it created a rift in their communication. So because of that, the wife didn't feel comfortable with some of the things, you know, he expected the wife and the 14-year-old daughter to do at home.
I see.
Mm. Okay. And then there was a breakdown in communication on financial matters.
Mm-hmm.
So she filed for divorce herself, mm-hmm. and then she couldn't get anywhere. Then she hired me.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lucky for her, lucky for us, you know, we found the attorney on the other side to be also very responsive.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back together,
mm-hmm.
and we sat down and we spent 3 hours
mm-hmm.
in a brainstorming session.
Mm-hmm.
And as a But before we got to that point, we had to deal with the legal matters,
mm-hmm.
and we did in a very strong and forceful manner to get the message across.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we sat down for 3 hours, I could clearly see that husband and wife, they started to talk to each other.
I think mm-hmm. communication is probably absolutely the key of any.
Yeah. So basically, you know, after they also discovered that it's going to cost them $2,500, right? You know, it must have been, you know, some sort of, you know, rude awakening as well. So we started with the position that the daughter, who is 14 year old,
mm-hmm.
who loves to be on the computer,
mm-hmm.
really didn't want to go to the father's home because he was more strict. He didn't allow the use of computer and things like this. So we
right.
talked about all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, I'm happy to report that after 3 months, now the daughter, she loves to go to father's home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both thinking of reconciling.
That's great. I think when you maintain that friendship or you restore that friendship, you at least can think of the child as the first.
See, the point I'm trying to make is that communication mm-hmm. is most important. And secondly,
right.
going back to, you know, a question which you had raised in the beginning, that can the kids forgive?
Mm-hmm.
Can you forgive?
Right.
You know, sometimes all it requires is to say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. if you talk to a kid at a certain level and explain that, you know, even though I'm adult, I made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a great start. And in my opinion, kids are forgiving. And like Lena said, they want mom and dad to be together.
Let's take a short break at this time. And when we come back, Madan, I know one of the issues that really bothered you into coming forward and saying that this is an issue that needs to be talked about is how kids' parents manipulate the children. And I think we'll discuss that a little bit when we come back.
Did you make your New Year's resolution to get in shape for 2012? ICC wants to help. We are waiving our initiation fees on January 6th through January 15th on all memberships. We also have a paid-in-full 3-year special rate only for January. Individual memberships are $9.99 and family without playcare is $15.99. With more than 40 Group X classes per week, including yoga, Zumba, body pump, Bollywood aerobics, and our new state-of-the-art cardio and strength equipment, you can achieve your New Year's goals with ease. To learn more, visit www.indiocc.org.
साथी है ये रुत के जिसमें फूल बन के दिल खिले घुल रहे हैं रंग सारे खुल रही है खुशबुएं जिसमें फूल बनके दिल खिले घुल रहे हैं रंग सारे खुल रही है खुशबुएं चांदनी झरने घटाए गीत बारिश तितलियां हम पे हो गए हैं सब मेहरबान जिसमें फूल बनके दिल खिले देखो नदी के किनारे पंछी पुकारे किसी पंछी को देखो जो नदी है मिलने चली है सागर ही को ये प्यार का ही सारा है कारवां कैसी है ये रुत की जिसमें फूल बनके दिल खिले
Welcome back to Parent Talk. Today we're talking about the very sensitive but growing issue of divorce and how it impacts kids. Our guests today are Madan Ahluwalia, who's a family law attorney, and Leena Khanzode, who's a psychiatrist and also counsels families who are going through this process. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about parent manipulation, which I think was a strong concern of yours, Madan, when you came to me with the subject, that how parents try to influence, or at least they're perceived as trying to influence the child against the other parent. And I want both of you to share your experiences with that. And in the break, Lena, you were also talking about how it can get really ugly. I mean, it can become really confrontational, very ugly. And, you know, obviously that's not a great thing for the kids to witness. So go ahead, Lena, first. Why don't you take it up and talk a little bit about how parents perceive a manipulation, or if there is genuine manipulation going on.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, like you said, I have to say it gets ugly. And, you know, I had this one family where the father came in saying, you know, my ex-wife is poisoning my child against me. And I was like, whoa, what does that mean, poisoning your child? So, you know, she talks about how I don't, take care of her when she's at my house. Maybe I'm not giving her good nutritional food. I'm not giving her warm clothes when it is, cold outside. And, you know,
you're bad-mouthing the other parent.
Exactly.
Or whatever
and then,
reason.
You know, the worst part was, it was not just limited to the parenting part. It was also that the father said she has been also telling my child about their adult issues, about why they didn't get along.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, how, you know, he was insensitive to her needs, and that's what he's doing to the child as well. So,
yeah, kids don't need to hear that. Madan, what has been your experience? I know this was a strong feeling that you had. That...
No, my experience has been along the similar lines, and that's why it was important to me to, you know, even discuss it with you and try to bring it out. So, for me, you know, there are two sides. Mm-hmm. One is the complete human side, which is that we always want other people to like us, and we always want the other people to be on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the manipulation starts, mm-hmm. right? You know, because two people, they're already in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they have drifted apart,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking at a divorce, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what I tell people is that don't make a bad situation worse. Mm-hmm. By doing other stupid things.
Mm-hmm. I guess,
right?
Yes.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, a child, you know, at a small age, at a precious age, you know, if they have to listen to all that negativity, you know, you wonder what kind of person he or she is going to grow up to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what I noticed in one of the situations is that husband, mm-hmm. you know, he basically lived with his parents. And his other family, you know, I think he had a sister-in-law and nephew and nieces. And so it was a big joint family.
Right.
And they had a big house. And the wife didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The child, she grew up in their family. She got along with the grandparents.
Extended family. Mm-hmm.
Grandparents. And the niece, you know, I met her a couple of times. You know, they took good care of her.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went to the mediation,
mm-hmm.
right? She was trying to influence the mediator by saying stuff about the family. So here, what I like to do is, I like to take this opportunity to tie into the legal aspects
okay.
of how the court system
Great.
Looks at this information.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of intelligent people in the Bay Area and, you know, a very highly educated community. From a legal standpoint, what our community needs to understand is that under the law, the father and mother of a minor child, they have an equal responsibility
okay.
to support the child in the manner suitable to the child's circumstances.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when everything is said and done, what the court is looking at is three things.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to look after the health,
mm-hmm.
safety,
okay.
and welfare of the child.
Yeah. It's very broad definition.
It
so
is.
How do you define welfare? Health, safety, okay, there are some objective metrics, but welfare. So can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So basically, we have a very well-defined system. Mm-hmm. And at each and every layer, we have systems and resources which are put in place to make that determination.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when a divorce is filed, the child custody is not automatic.
Okay.
You have to go to the court and you have to make a request.
Mm-hmm.
And once the request is made,
mm-hmm.
the first thing the court wants you to do is contact the family court services.
Okay.
And family court services is a department within the court system
mm-hmm.
where you will go and talk to a mediator.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And even the attorney can go in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the husband and the wife who go in and talk to a qualified trained professional who understands these issues inside out.
Okay.
And they talk to the parents jointly. They talk to them separately. They listen to each and everybody carefully. If they feel that they need to interview the child, they will do so. And if they sense any abuse, anything that affects the, you know, these three factors, health, safety, and welfare, they will and they can get other resources available, like a psychologist, you know, or the sheriff or anybody, whosoever they deem is necessary.
But, you know, the example that Lena was giving, that can be very subtle. Parents can try to influence the child against the other parent in a very subtle fashion.
Yeah, so let me finish that thought. So in this particular case, you know, when we went to the mediator, you know, so the mother and father, they were giving the story. And right in front of me, you know, because it was an introductory session, you know, before I got kicked out.
Okay.
And she was going to go talk to the parents. She told the parents directly in front of me, she goes, your kid is 3 years old. Okay. And you guys think that the kid doesn't know what's going on. The kid knows exactly what's going on. Exactly. And I'll tell you from my experience, the kid also wants to take advantage of the situation. And the kid will tell one parent one thing. And the kid will tell the other parent something else.
So while the parents are trying to manipulate, the kids are also trying to manipulate.
Yes.
That is so sad. Yes, go ahead, Lena.
Yeah, you know, so I have to agree with that. I have come across that too. And I want to kind of add to the point you were making earlier, Vidya, that, you know, the probably the poisoning or this, you know, in fact, there is a term in psychology. It's called parental alienation syndrome, PAS.
Okay.
So, you know, you're alienating this kid from other parent, and it's very subtle. It goes over time. So I saw this family a year ago where, you know, it was like, okay, there were some accusations made, but it wasn't such an issue. A year later, they came back saying there's more stuff happened. Now the child says this about the other parent, and I'm pretty sure it's the other parent who's poisoning my child's mind.
How did you deal with it?
So, you know, and interestingly, when I met with the child, she had shared some of those things, but not quite. And it turns out that, you know, I mean, everybody had their own say. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, I tried to help them understand, but it seemed like they were almost, you know, at each other's throat, and they were not willing to
listen.
You know, mediate or listen, and so they had to go back to the court, and they were able to get the help, like Madan said.
Okay.
So a question I have for you, Lena, is that is there a to-do list or you know, a list that says do's and don'ts in a situation like this from a psychologist or a counselor's point of view?
Yeah, you know, it's very, it's always we are very vigilant when it comes to parents with joint custody or different custodies. And so getting consent from each parent about, you know, how this treatment process is going to be, giving them both fair chances about giving their input. So it's like if I'm meeting mom for a 50-minute session or 30-minute session, I have to make sure I'm also addressing that much time to dad.
I have a question here, and it's sort of a follow-up to what Madan was asking. Suppose you're one of the parents, and you realize that whether the child is making stuff up or it is genuine, there is something going on that's you're getting the report of not that the child is safe, the child is healthy, then there's no problem, but you're getting the sense that the other parent may be subtly trying to influence. How do you deal with it with the child?
Yeah,
no, it's a tough question. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I think I'm just laughing because it's probably something I cannot summarize and tell you. It takes a lot of work. You know, it's unfortunately, there is always a manipulative component that every kid has, and it's just that, you know, every kid is bright and capable, but it's there's always an underlying issue for that. And, you know, so it's like, okay, suddenly the child has become defiant. Suddenly they are making up stories. They are doing this. Okay, why? You know, either, you know, there's usually an underlying cause. So by addressing an open communication between parents and mitigating the conflict, that actually is a reason for child coming up with these things, usually the problem resolves.
And Madan, I want to ask you know, one of the things that the parents have to sort of get together and decide is the actual financial future of the child, college and all these planning. What is the legal angle here? How does the court determine a little bit about the financial future of the child. Is that an element at all, or is this something that the parents just discuss among themselves?
No, it is definitely an element, mm-hmm. and it falls in the category of the welfare. Right? So there are different components, and it falls in the category of welfare. Where the kid goes to school or how much money is saved and how decisions are made, the court does leave those important decisions to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it is all subject to the parents' education, their background, their financial capabilities, and all of the good stuff. The court gets involved only if there's a stalemate. If the parties cannot reach an agreement and cannot figure things out, and it is detrimental to the welfare of the child, that is when you can go back to the court and force a decision.
So let me get this straight. I mean, obviously there are decisions as a child grows up that are ongoing decisions, right? Nothing is decided at one point in time when the
divorce
is finalized.
It's a fluid process.
It's a fluid process.
Yes.
So does that mean that the parents, as you said, keeping the lines of communication open is really important, but there will be many steps along the way in the child's future that the parents will have to get together and discuss. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And so every stage they're sitting together and communicating and saying what is. So I guess it really is helpful for the process if you are able to maintain some level of civility so that you can continue this long process. I mean, people should realize that just getting the divorce is not the end of the communication between the two parties.
Yeah. See, what you need to remember from a legal standpoint is that the court system and the judicial process, its goal is to equalize the power relationship between the parties.
Mm-hmm.
However, a judge or a court is not a referee for each and every small problem you have.
Right.
Right.
So,
and so what it means is that either you need to get your act together,
mm-hmm.
right, or the court will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what that means is that, let us say, you know, husband and wife are having a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let us say the kid is you know, in high school, and there's some issues about where the kid is going to go to college, what kind of college preparation courses they're going to take.
There's so many decisions.
Right?
I mean, really,
absolutely.
Parenting is such a complex phenomenon.
So it could be homeschooling, you know, it could be, you know, whether the kid can participate in a sports or not, because so such a time-consuming process,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those things, right?
Right.
So adults are supposed to come together and make decision.
Right.
So let us say one person feels that their position is reasonable,
mm-hmm.
but the other person is being difficult just for the sake of being difficult.
Yeah. Right. It happens.
Guess back.
It has happened.
It happens all the time.
Happened,
right?
Yep.
So guess back. You're back in the court.
Yeah.
And that you know, what that means is that you have to go through the system. You have to go through the attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a time-consuming process.
And expensive.
And then you're leaving the decision-making in the hands of others.
That is such a phenomenal point.
And
that,
you know,
we are doing that. That we are actually, in our fight, we're actually handing over that parenting decision to a third party
So, you know, we all like to make our own decisions, right?
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, where we're going to eat or which movie we're going to watch.
Right.
So imagine what? Because you can't figure it out. Now you have to go through a mediator.
Yes.
A child psychologist might be involved. And the guy in the black robe.
Right.
You know, he's got 50 other files.
Right.
Does he really know your kid?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think as a parent, as an adult, you have to take a step back and think, you know what, it's my child, it's my life, this is what's important, this is not important, I'm going to give up on this and just go to, you know, give and take. Hey, work things out.
And I have to say, this is exactly what happened with one of my cases. And, you know, teenager, she wanted to go to some summer program and mom wanted to send, dad did not want to send her. They had to go through court. In that process, the child gets frustrated, depressed, you know, started cutting herself. You know, there was like a whole other issue going on with her to express her frustration. And ultimately, they understood it. Oh my gosh, this is not worth it. It's affecting our child's well-being. And so they gave in. And the give and take and open communication helped because, you know, the court process just took forever and ever.
You don't want to do that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I want to bring up is the issue of, you know, social taboos or cultural pressures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when I get a call, especially from a woman, there's always in-laws involved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay, and that is where we need to smarten up.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we don't live in India anymore.
Right.
Second thing, you know, the women are not staying home and making rotis all the time. Right? They're bringing in...
Give me a concrete example, this thing that you're talking about. What exactly happened?
Well, I had a call from a lady who worked at a pharmacy. So she was a pharmacist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she makes a call and she goes, you know, I'm thinking a divorce. Okay, so what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was that husband's sister lives in East Coast,
mm-hmm.
and he was just hung up on being living close to the sister.
Okay.
And he wanted to basically sell the house, uproot the family, and go to East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's always a mother-in-law, right?
Right. The cliched evil person in the family.
Right. So she's not happy with the mother-in-law. So I had a 35-minute conversation with her.
Mm-hmm. And were the children involved here in this case?
There were two children who were aged about 3 and 5.
Oh, very young.
Mm-hmm. So I had a very heart-to-heart conversation with the lady, and I said, what do you really want? She goes, all I want is my marriage to work,
mm-hmm.
and all these issues are affecting the children because, you know, they start crying and they can sleep at night and they wonder, like, what's going on? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, kids are very smart these days. They perceive and then they ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So as a result of that, I basically figured out that it's something to do with the mother-in-law and husband's desire to move,
mm-hmm.
right? So my message is that husbands need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
They need to pay attention, and they don't need to impose decisions on wives.
Mm-hmm.
And wives need to be smart, and they need to show the mandatory and the required respect to mother-in-laws and work as a family unit to make it work.
That's a tall order.
It is.
On that note, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about these movements across. You know, what happens if I really wanted to... It's an ancillary part of your subject, but I want to talk about what if one parent wants to move. You know, what are the legal angles to that, and how do you deal with it with the children? So let's take a quick break, and then we'll get back to talking a little bit more.
Calling young Picassos and Monets. If you love to draw or paint, then the ICC Kids Art Contest is the right place for you. It will be held on Sunday, March 4th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. The theme will be Images of India. Learn more about this event and all other kids' events at www.indiacc.org.
जाने ये क्या हुआ हम दोनों का यूं मिलना ऐसे पास आना जाने ये क्या जो मिला जाना मैं भी जिंदा हूँ सुनो कहूँ मैं क्या तुमको मैं हूँ तुम हो बस इतना सुन लो तुम पे कोई दीवाना है होना है और क्या जाने ये क्या
Welcome back to Parent Talk. Today we are talking with lawyer Madan Ahluwalia and psychiatrist Lina Khanzure about divorce and how it impacts kids. And I think we've come to the consensus view that communication is probably the most important thing that parents have to watch out for, appropriate communication, responsible communication. And Lina, I want to ask you in this segment, the child growing up in a broken family, growing up from a broken family, can you talk about how it can impact them as adults?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So, you know, the impact is pretty broad. There is emotional and physical issues that there have been studies that have looked at and found that kids who are raised in single families or, you know, broken families tend to have more psychosomatic disorders like asthma, migraines, and it goes even into emotional aspects. They are, you know, lonely, they are unhappy, they are anxious, they are insecure. And the most sensitive part is that, you know, if there is domestic violence involved, say, before the separation and the child has witnessed that, then they are also at a very high risk of being a victim of child molestation or even a victim of abuse later on. Or it can be on the other side too. They can be perpetrators and they can abuse other people. So,
Madan, do you want to add to that? Do you have something to share on that subject that, you know, something to watch out for?
Yeah, I mean, from a legal standpoint, domestic violence is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and domestic violence can start anywhere from annoying phone calls to annoying emails to stalking to the.
That's a pretty broad definition.
Oh, absolutely. The law is very, very strict, and mm-hmm. not too many people know about it. Lot of the what can be considered as innocent acts,
mm-hmm.
okay, by an overzealous husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, using an iPhone app to track the whereabouts of a wife.
Okay, that's creepy.
It is. Absolutely. That is the reason it is protected.
Right.
That is the reason it is protected.
So it doesn't have to be physical violence.
Yes.
It can be very many different kinds of things.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. domestic violence has, you know, serious issues because you as a parent, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
You want the custody of the child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want the kid on your side because you might not get along with the mom
mm-hmm.
or the dad, but you still love the child, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you raise your hand, okay, and there's a domestic violence, you'll be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a bail for $50,000 to $250,000.
Okay.
You will be in the custody for 4 hours to, you know, 24 hours, depending on, you know, when you're arrested.
Mm-hmm.
If you have friends to bail you out.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that,
mm-hmm.
if it proceeds to a divorce,
mm-hmm.
you have to complete a batterer's program.
Mm-hmm.
You have to complete parenting classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the presumption that you're a good parent is against you.
Right. So you literally have to rebuild your reputation.
You have to rebuild your credit.
Yeah. Right, right.
And that is not the risk you want to take as a parent and as a human being.
Well, you know, I want to tie these two things together. On one hand, we've heard that kids who have come from a broken family have this higher propensity to have emotional and physical psychosomatic issues. But on the other hand, are there situations where it's justified to get divorced? Are there situations where really in the best interest of the child is actually served by a divorce?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes that's kind of a better solution than, you know, solving the problem. So, there are certain families where, you know, there is mediation tried, negotiation, counseling tried, and that doesn't work. And the two parents have completely different paths. But I think the good news is in that process, at least from the example I remember, is that, you know, there was enough parenting work done through all that processes they had gone through, that there was a lot of consistency in the parenting style that was established. And I think that's the main thing to look for, is that kids really want consistency for their well-being. In, you know, even if they are in two households or in one household, a routine, a consistent expected routine is what they like. So I think, you know, in some cases it's like, yeah, that's a better solution as long as the parents can keep that consistent parenting style.
So, Madan, do you want to add to that? I know that as a family lawyer, your interest actually slightly contrary to your financial, probably,
business interest
is that you would like the couple to work it through, to talk, to reconcile. But have you come across a case where it's patently clear that it would be better that the parents separate for the child's better interest?
You know, to be honest with you, when I'm consulted by anybody, mm-hmm. one of the questions I ask and one of the suggestions I make is around counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I always ask my client whether you have tried counseling. And the reason I take it upon myself to do that is because there's a lot of social taboo around getting counseling.
Hmm. That is true. Mental health, and people don't think that they need an outsider knowing their stuff. Is it a privacy issue more than anything else?
You know, more than privacy issue, in my mind, at least the way
stigma.
I perceive it, it's not even stigma. It is a self-confidence issue.
Oh.
That I'm strong enough, I'm brave enough, I can do it. I don't need somebody telling me what to do.
Hmm.
So having said that, I always ask about counseling. I always suggest counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, if things don't work out, you don't have to stay in a bad marriage.
Hmm.
There are sometimes situations, you know, where there are a lot of compatibility issues and people do grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suggest that you stay together mm-hmm. for the sake of the kid, because then it's not good for you.
Hmm.
And your unhappiness is going to creep into other relationships, mm-hmm. which invariably involves a parent-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that for a kid to live in that environment is a healthy thing to do.
Right. But, you know, we're talking about a situation where parents have actually, as Lena said, gone through the process. They have gone through the counseling. They've realized that really they are meant to be apart. They're not meant to be together. And I want to quickly retouch upon that, your suggestion that you shouldn't be having mom's rules and dad's rules, mom's house rules and dad's house rules. You really should be working together to provide the child a very consistent environment in that situation and convince the child, in us, that the parents are still friends. They're just friends who don't want to live with each other.
Yeah. So having said that, you know, I don't make that decision for people. However, what I tell them is the harsh reality that if you go through a divorce and if you separate,
mm-hmm.
keep in mind that from a legal standpoint that you have to deal with each other until the kid is 18.
Yeah.
Because that is where the judicial or the legal imposition is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That both the parents are responsible for the kid and making mm-hmm. the decisions which are in the best interest of the child until the child turns 18.
Well, we're pretty much coming to the end of the show. So what I'm going to request each of you from your unique perspective to give me maybe a minute on, here's the situation. Our listeners are listening to the show and they're thinking, okay, I'm in a bad marriage and this is a marriage with kids. So obviously it's a complicated situation. If they came to you, what would be your first 1 minute of advice to them? Lena, do you want to go first?
Sure. So, I think my approach is very similar to what Madan was alluding to earlier, that, you know, when they are kind of like confused about, you know, their marriage and, you know, it's complex because children are involved and what do they do about it, I really want to hear about, okay, what are the conflicts about? I want to understand the problem rather than saying, oh, yeah, you should get divorced, or, you know, that's not what we do. We want to understand what are the kinds of issues they are having problems with, and have they tried seeking any help? help to resolve those conflicts. Mm-hmm. And so you always, you know, there is the main message is to try to work out things if they can, because the ultimately it involves not just their well-being, but the kids' well-being at the foremost. So that's kind of how we go about it. And, you know, we've discussed how, if it works, how we work with it, and if it doesn't, then we work with it. But I think the more important thing is to get help for adults, get help for the child. And, you know, I must say I'm working with a family right now, and things are getting better. So things do get better, and they are far from that decision of separating. They are actually working things out, and kids doing much better now.
So I guess if your focus, what you're saying is, if your focus is, okay, through all this, my child's interests have to come first. It
exactly.
can't be about my ego. Then, you know, then everything becomes a smoother process.
Exactly, yeah.
Madan, what about you?
You know, for me, if you feel mm-hmm. that you're not being heard, mm-hmm. think about how much you are listening to the other person. And most importantly, listen to your kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids are really, really smart these days. And I'll tell you something from my personal experience. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a bad hair moment.
Okay.
And I was a little bit annoyed with my wife. And my son picked up on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're very sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
So my son is 11 years old, and he came up to me and he goes, "What's going on?" So only the day before, I had given him permission to come back and give me direct feedback on anything mm-hmm. which he felt about me.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "What's going on?" So I told him what happened. He turned around to mom. He said, "What happened?" We both gave our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with the perfect solution. We changed the situation in 30 seconds.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
You have a counselor at home.
Yes,
yeah.
So
actually, that's right. Yeah.
So my suggestion is, don't ignore the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a verbal abuse, if it's a physical abuse, if it's a social taboo,
mm-hmm.
sit down, talk to each other, get the kids involved, get on the same page, because when everything is said and done,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing more important than the family.
And I think one thing you should taking away from that is, don't expect the other person to read your mind.
Exactly.
I think we expect so much from the partner because we have come to the relationship from a position of love, that, oh, they should be able to understand what's going on. But no, most people don't. We are so self-centered, most of us,
yeah.
that really we cannot guess what the other person is thinking or feeling. So I guess
absolutely
right. So the open communication concept that Madan was also bringing up, the open communication, don't let the conflict sit, and, you know, you kind of clear the air every time, and, you know, try to, you know, clean the slate again. And so that's, I think, a very important thing which we often in our busy lives these days forget to do. And there's resentments that get piled up, and there
yes.
is more misunderstandings that get piled up, and that's where the conflicts become very difficult.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madan. Thank you, Lena. It was really a pleasant experience and very valuable having you on the show today. I hope our listeners got something out of it. Next week, we'll be talking about parenting teenagers. My guest next week is marriage and family therapist Sushma Trivedi, who has done workshops on parenting, and she'll be happy to answer your questions. If you want to ask her questions confidentially, you can send your questions to radio@indiacc.org, radio@indiacc.org. That's also the email to send us feedback about the show and ideas for future shows. So that's all our show for today. Thank you for listening, and keep listening every Saturday at 10 a.m. It's our new time, 10 a.m. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Vidya. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah. 1550 AM KZDG San Francisco.
Hello friends, main aapka dost Deen Mani. Tune into my show every Friday 6 to 8 and Saturdays 12 to 2 p.m. right here on Radio Zindagi 1550 AM. For sponsorship and ads, call me 510-200-2415 or email me din@radiozindagi.com.
दर्दी दिल की दवा तो नहीं पर चटपटी बातें जरूर हैं, थोड़ी ही देर के लिए सही टेंशन को टाइम आउट दे यार, सर्विंग अप चिट चैट इन देसी चाट स्टाइल ऑन शालू के बबा बोल गप्पे, चाहे कोई भी टॉपिक हो, जब तक रहेगा समोसे में आलू, गप्पे हाकेंगे आप और शालू, सैटरडे इवनिंग्स एट 6 PM ऑन रेडियो जिंदगी 1550 जिए जा।
अच्छा लगा, अच्छा लगा, अच्छा लगा, अच्छा लगा।
Let's talk more music back to back. Remix with Priya. Every Saturday, 9 to 10 p.m., Remix with Priya.
The madness has just begun. G.A. Ja.